All right, today we're gonna address some things about healing, but not from the standpoint of the struggle, in the sense of, I know a lot of people have struggled with, especially if it's a long-term illness, but more of a solution to the struggle. And basically, the solution to the struggle is working with Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we are in a process. We don't like the process, and I'm not saying we should even undergo it because Jesus healed us. But sometimes what's going on with us, whether it's feelings, whether it's trauma, whether it's, unresolved issues from you know, your history, all of that can interfere with receiving what's already ours. And he was showing me today, Holy Spirit, about the simplicity of faith. It's become such a huge, it's almost like a topic that's become a monument in itself, faith. And then it's become how you work for faith. Well, you can't work for faith. You can just have it. You can only receive faith. You can only believe what he has done. And for you specifically, you know, a lot of times we can, it's funny, people in ministry themselves will find it so easy to believe that someone else should be healed. You don't even consider, you know, there's an option. But for yourself, you might have barriers. And he was showing me today specifically that one barrier can be guilt. That you can actually, see, the enemy will use any weakness in our beings, in our understanding, in our, even in our relationships with ourself. And if we have, say we've done something that we're not really comfortable with, and it's not that we're being judged by the Father, because he judged Jesus, but we're judging ourselves. And we may have guilt. And with that guilt, often with any kind of illness or disease, it will come in. If you start to tune in spiritually to what's happening, it will come in with a tag. And the tag could be anything from, say you get a flu, and because and you had been out in the rain, and it's been, you know, it's exhausting, you're cold, you're tired, all of this, and the next day you end up feeling really sick. You'll hear the tag of, oh, that's because you were out walking and it was cold and rainy and you're tired, and that's why you're sick. And you start to accept that that's okay. Rather than, you don't even have to have that. Because if he took all disease, all sickness, it includes that. We are redeemed from it. But if we believe the tag, and this is where he's talking about the good fight of faith. He really wants to focus on what that good fight is. And if we believe the tag, then we get it. Then that illness that's already come upon us becomes embedded to some degree. And if it's a flu, it's going to be a few days. Everybody knows that. You get sick. Maybe you vomit. Maybe, you know, you can't breathe, congestion, whatever. You don't freak out. Usually you just go through the days. And at the end of it, I'm well again. That's how we usually process that. But if it's a serious illness, and we've believed whatever tag it is, whether it is, we're going to use the issue of guilt because he's just focusing on that. Guilt is a real killer. If we have guilt about something, and the enemy's convinced us that we deserve that guilt, then it's very hard to come out from under what he's telling us we deserve. Because the enemy will always condemn us, obviously. He's not going to lift us up. He's not going to exalt us. That's Daddy's job. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand, which includes not understanding what the heck's going on. And he exalts us in due time. We cast our cares on him because he cares for us. We don't bear the burden of it. What's happened so much in modern Christianity is there's so much analysis of healing. It's almost like psychology more than it is supernatural at all. And we try to figure out, we try to work our way through, you know, whatever phases we are in that particular illness. And, you know, whether it's from the authority spectrum where, you know, you pound and pound and pound, you command this, you loose that, you bind that, or whether it's from having to, you know, look at yourself 20,000 times a day in the mirror and go, yes, but now I have to get rid of this thing. Oh, yes, I remember when I did that. Oh, yes, that must be what's holding me back. And the enemy's having a field day. He doesn't really care which way you do it as long as you fail. And that's why we need Holy Spirit. If we can't relate to him and we can't ask him personally, what in the world is going on with me, Lord? And have a dialogue. He's been showing me a lot and it's been helping a lot of people, including myself. When you're going through a crisis or a really difficult situation, you need to have full access to him. I mean, you need full access all the time, but I'm talking about you don't know how to overcome, yeah? And he's our teacher, he's our helper, help us overcome. You need to be able to dialogue with him. And when I say dialogue, it is truly a back and forth conversation. It isn't just, oh, I got a word from the Lord today, wait, be strong or anything. No, no, no. We're talking back and forth like I'm talking to you and then you would speak. You know, I've said my piece, now it's your turn. And we take turns. Holy Ghost and you take turns. It's amazing. It is amazing. For some people, especially in a crisis, or even in something that's just overwhelming you or debilitating, if you've had a long-term illness, you know, you're pretty worn out. You're pretty wrung out. It's pretty hard to go on and try to be happy. You know, it's just not going to happen. And we don't have to pretend with him. See, that's the whole deal. It's the spirit of liberty. We don't have to fake anything with God. We have full access to him. The veil was torn. We are his. So all we do is be his, which is to be real with him. And what he's shown me, it's because if you're in a very crisis situation or an overwhelming situation and you can't think straight anymore, you've got a million feelings running through your body, you've got thoughts coming hither and thither, you don't know where to go, that writing it out makes it so much easier. And he's designed this because we can only write one word at a time. You know, you can think a million thoughts at a time, but with your writing, you actually have to think about the spelling. You have to look for the keys on the computer if you're doing it that way. Otherwise, you know, you're doing it with a pen. You have to look at how you're forming the letters. Your mind is occupied with just the mechanics of writing. So it's not flailing and drowning in all of this emotion and worry. And he showed me that if you can do that, and I found I can do it like on a chat. It's as if I'm chatting to him. And I am. It's not I'm making it up. It's not let's imagine that Holy Spirit really cares about us and lives in us and can talk to me. He does care about us. He does live in us and he can really talk to us. So that's where we go, especially if we've hit the wall so many times. You cannot continue on that level. And your body's already tired. Your mind's, you know, overrun with thoughts. And you've had all this kind of information coming at you from various teachers or preachers or doctrines or church or whatever. You don't know what's what anymore. And he's the spirit of truth. Nobody else is. And he's the only one who can tell you. So what you do is you literally, I'm just giving you the little rundown. So say you're on a, you know, like a Gmail chat and you have, maybe you have somebody you really trust that you can have them look at this. But even if you don't, it can just be a chat. You can do it on a Word document. It really doesn't matter. And you put me, that's you, and your little colon, you know, and it's what you say. Oh, Holy Spirit, I don't know what's going on. This has just gotten so hard for me. I'm trying so hard. You write that down. Then you go, Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. I put HG just for short. That's for me, you know, but you don't have to do it that way. HS, HG, however you want to write it. And then you write his response. And he will have a response. See, because you're one. What happens for most Christians is they don't realize they're one with God. So they think, oh, it's me talking. Are you sure that's me? Are you sure? You will get to know his voice. You will know him speaking through you. You just will know. But you never get there unless you actually dialogue with him. And he will give you the custom-made answer for you. You know, we all want somebody else's testimony. Somebody, you know, okay, somebody for, I read this thing the other day. Someone prayed for their child for 22 years who had Down syndrome. And now this man, the son, is functioning perfectly. He still has the physical features of it, but he is at a normal intelligence and he's running his own ministry. I mean, phenomenal. I mean, that is a mother, you know, after God's own heart. I mean, she just didn't give up. And that's wonderful. But I know of other people that, you know, might have children that are sick in maybe in a different way, but, you know, serious illness or serious mental incapacity, that don't want to hear that because they think, you mean I've got to spend the next 22 years doing it? And we just say, no, it's custom made. He knows you. He made you, finely tuned you, made you individually, perfectly, wonderfully, fearfully made by his hand. He knows how you work and he knows what will work for you. So even if it's that something's been long term and you've had so many people pray for you and nothing's moved, or maybe sometimes something's moved or it might even, you know, appear again, however the process has been for you, we can go to Holy Spirit. We can say, this is where I'm at. I don't know where to move from here. I desperately need your help. And he will not be silent. People are terrified of talking to him because they think he won't talk to them back. But he actually is waiting. He's like the bench warmer. That's what I call him. You know, he's sitting on the bench most of the time in most people's walks with God. You know, he's not even in the game because no one invites him. It's amazing when you invite him. You can do it, I mean, even in the simplest way. You can be having an argument with someone, you know, a spouse, or it could be a relative or whatever, even a workmate. And if you stop you arguing and you just say, Holy Spirit, take over, you will find the whole thing stops. And you haven't even said it out loud. You know, they may or may not be a believer. It doesn't even matter. That's how good he is. That's how much he wants to enter into your life. That's how much he can help. He's the helper. And he wants people to know that. Don't do it alone. You can't. You will fail dismally. And I don't want you failing. You don't need to fail. The enemy will slap you upside the head so many times, and I know most people, anyone who's been through a long-term illness, have already gone through that. They know what that's like. Up and down, in and out, happy today about it, having a little bit of strength, believing, and then something else happens, and then they fall apart. And what I found is that going back to that idea, and it's not an idea, he's shown me, there's a tag that comes with every illness. Whether it's, oh, you deserve this because you were a bad mother, or you deserve this because you said something wrong to your spouse, or it's, you shouldn't have been so reckless when you were younger, that's why your body's so, you know, in so much pain because you broke all these bones. It doesn't matter what it is. You'll find some excuse. The enemy's always looking for an excuse to reel you in and torment you. And if he can get you to believe it, there you go. So Holy Spirit really wants to talk about the simplicity of faith. You know, fighting the good fight of faith is not pounding the devil in the head day and night. Fighting the good fight of faith is actually when things come at us that are in opposition to the truth of God, we don't give in. We go, no, that is not what he said. That is not what he's done. That is not my God. He does not say, I deserve this. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put it on his own son. You know, we have to know that. Believing is the simplest thing, and yet it can be such a mountain to walk up. Some people seem like children. You know, children just naturally believe, don't they? They'll believe your lies because they're little and they don't know any better. But they'll also believe the truth easily. They won't fight it and go, yes, but is that really true? Or let me analyze that. Or what does Dr. So-and-so say about this? Or what about this minister? Well, his analysis of this theologically is not the same as what so-and-so is saying. You know, and we go into, you know, this whole dissertation of fighting. We're not even fighting the good fight of faith. We're fighting everything else. And the good fight of faith is simply believing what he says. And not letting ourselves be stirred by anything else. And it is difficult when you're seeing symptoms. When you're getting, you know, hit night and day. That's why you have the helper. You're not supposed to do it on your own. Just grin and bear it and white knuckle it and go, oh, I hope I can believe today. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, the pain. I have found, this is amazing. I have found, sometimes I've been attacked. You know, in ministry you get attacked in a different way. Well, you get attacked with physical things too. And but it's like the attacks come at certain times, crucial times when you're really been berated. You might be going under a lot of persecution and you're just weak because it hurts. You know, no one wants to be persecuted all day long because they're speaking the truth of God, but they're getting persecuted anyway. And you'll find, I had an instance, and I want to make it personal because so you can understand it in a real way. I had an instant where I was praying for someone, and then I also was getting hammered by someone else for, you know, quote-unquote letting them down. They thought I wasn't there enough for them. And, you know, you're ministering to dozens and dozens of people or hundreds really, it's hard to be there for one person. You know, you have to spread yourself out. Anyway, the hammering was happening at the same time I was ministering to this person who also had like severe migraines. And all of a sudden I started getting severe migraines, you know, debilitating day and night pain where you can't sleep. And it went on for about 3 days. And it was at the same time I was being attacked. You know, I was being slandered. This person was slandering me because I was hearing from others that I was being slandered. And I found it was very difficult because when you can't sleep at all, you're in so much pain. And you know, you're trying to, I prayed, I was asking Holy Spirit, I was doing in my own, you know, I was doing authority, binding and casting out and all of that, doing everything. And I just wasn't getting anywhere. And then Holy Spirit showed me what was going on. There was a tag that came with this migraine. And the tag that came with it said, "You should have this. You should have this." And it was such a nice voice. It wasn't, "You should have this." You know, it wasn't like that. I mean, angel of light voice. "You should have this." As if it was something that was good for me. And it had a feeling behind it as well. I could feel the feeling of that, you know, sickly sweet, something that's sickly sweet. It's almost like candy. The voice was even like that. But you know what? It was very seductive. It was like pulling me in, like I should have this pain. And then he showed me why I was believing that. Because this person was saying to me that was attacking me, I should have their problem. I wasn't doing enough for them. I was to bear their burden. That's what it says in the Bible. You should have this for me. When I got that, I got free. But how it happened, it wasn't just on automatic, you know, the headache went or the migraine went. I had to refuse it and refuse it and refuse it because I was believing the opposite. I was believing the lie of the devil. This was my fight for the good fight of faith. In this instance, this is only my instance. This is not, you know, it's all custom made. Salvation's custom made. Your relationship's custom made. Your fight of faith is custom made. So I'm not saying everybody do this now. I'm saying this is an example of what can happen. And while I was fighting that good fight of faith, I was having to refuse continually because the thing was kept talking to me. I kept hearing it say, "You should have," and I go, "No, I refuse it. No. No, I shouldn't have this pain. Why should I have this pain? Jesus took it. No, I'm dishonoring him if I'm going to receive this pain. No, I won't have it. I refuse it. I refuse it." I had to do that. I was like half awake, half asleep. He often can put us in that state where our spirit's fighting for us, but our body's sleeping. Okay, and our soul, which has the will. See, our will is crucial. It's a crucial aspect of our walking with God and our relationship and our fighting the good fight of faith. Our will needs to be lined up with his will. For us, which is always good. All things work together for the good of those who love him. It's always good. So we always want to go with his will. But we can get tricked. You know, we are children. Children of God. It's easy to trick a child. That's why we want to grow up into all things in him. But we also have the helper, Holy Ghost, the comforter, the teacher, to lead us. The Spirit of Truth to lead us into all truth, to teach us concerning all things. He cannot be out of the picture or we're going to get creamed. And even if you're a really strong person, and you know, there's a lot of strong-willed people that make it without even God, let alone being in Christ and making it, trying to do it, white-knuckling it themselves. But that is not the best option. That takes a lot of effort. That exhausts us. And who gets the glory? Look what I did. I triumphed. No. We don't need to be the ones triumphing on our own. It says he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's God's goal for us. Always. No matter what's going on. No matter how difficult something is. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So we just have to, it's not like we ever come out of Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, you're a believer. So you suddenly lose it because you had a bad day. But are you in him in your understanding? That's how you fight the good fight of faith. I'm in Christ Jesus. My God always wants me to triumph. So if I'm not triumphing, this is against God. We don't look at, what did I do in 1983? How did I mess up my life so badly? I mean, we're dead anyway. The old man's dead. We've got to get over that. He's really gone. He was crucified. Who we were separated from God is gone. It's finished. It doesn't, person doesn't even exist. It doesn't mean we don't have memories. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings. It doesn't mean we don't sometimes need things healed in our past. That's fine. We just don't want to live as the dead man because there's no life in him. And we're not separate from God. So why would we want to live separate from God? Because that's what the dead man was. He was aligned and owned by Satan. Well, we aren't those people anymore. And if we have difficulties or trauma or feelings or whatever it is that needs healing, we can ask Holy Spirit to help us. And not even just help us. We can ask him, Holy Spirit, heal this feeling. I cannot go on with this. It's too hard for me. He does not think you're weak. He's like, oh, at long last, I'm going to get a look in here and I can do what I'm called to do. We're meant to just give it over. Just give it over. He's our superhero. We're not our own superheroes or anybody else's. You know, I think half the time, and I'm just sensing this, some people who have long-term illnesses, and it may be some of the people that are on right now, think that they also have to take care of everybody else. Not only do they have to deal with their own pain and illness and difficulty, but they have to be heroes to everyone else around them in their lives. And that is going to knock you out. You can't be anybody else's superhero. You know, he gave me this the other day. And we all have, we all have difficulties, trials or whatever. And if you're somebody who tends to want to minister to people or been called into ministry or have a really loving, compassionate heart or whatever, it's very easy to try to take on everybody else's life. In fact, it's hard not to. And he made it really clear to me, whether it was in ministry, whether it was in marriage, whether it was, you know, in mothering, it didn't matter. He said, Jesse, and this is for every believer. This is actually for every unbeliever too. He said, you are not responsible for anyone's failure. And I believe that's a really big word for somebody who's really listening right now. You, this is from Holy Ghost, are not responsible for anyone's failure. And you know, even scripturally, you'll find that that's true. From the Old Testament, it says that everyone is responsible for their own sin, right? Back in, I think it's Ezekiel 33. That, you know, the Father is not responsible for the Son's sin. Then you go into the New Testament, and he says that no one seems to read this one in Galatians 6. It talks about, yes, bearing one another's burden, and everybody stays there. They just don't go on to the next two verses. Because after you're bearing everybody's, you know, you're bearing another's burden, which doesn't mean you're taking it on as your responsibility instead of them being responsible. No, you're helping them out with it. You know, it's easy to carry the load with two people. You know, you've got a piano to lift. Hey, try to lift it by yourself. Pretty darn hard. It's talking about that. It doesn't mean you take over and you lift it by yourself and they just sit there in the grass, you know, with their lollipop watching you work. No, you're helping. You're coming alongside. But after that, it talks about everything that we do, our work that we do in our life as a Christian. And it says that We are not to compare ourselves with anyone else, and everyone carries their own load. You know, I've never heard that one preached. In fact, I was shocked when I read it the other day. Because we've had this teaching, and I call it Christianese, or I actually think it's Holy Ghost little label for it. Christianese is where you always have to be nice, you always have to do the right thing, you always stuff down your feelings, you always pretend it's all okay because, well, I have God and I have faith and I'm, you know, I'm supposed to be nice. That is not Christianity. You look at Jesus, that's Christianity. He was not always nice. He spoke the truth. And even when he said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter, that was love. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. You are going in the wrong direction, mate. Stop it. He's soft to those who are tender towards him, and he's hard to those who are hardened toward the truth. That's how he does it. And we are meant to be as he is, so are we in this world. You know, they turned him into this emasculated little lammy god who just, you know, pats lambs on the head. No! There are times when he will pat us on the head. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit can be so incredibly tender. And he's the voice we now hear. He's the master's voice. He lives in us. He's the one we relate to. He's our teacher. But there are other times he will chastise you. And he will let you know that you are out of line. And it's best to listen. You know, the church has really lost the whole fear of the Lord. There is no fear of the Lord. It's all gush. Or you've got the other people under the law that are so terrified of him. It's not the fear of the Lord. It's terrified of you know, making a mistake. Or terrified of man. That neither one of those is true. You know, the fear of the Lord is a freedom. You have liberty. When you really know who's standing beside you, behind you, and who lives in you. The magnificence of who God is, one with you. And that he's on your side. He's for you, not against you. So what can man do to you? What can even the devil do to you? When we really get that, how phenomenal that is. That's the reality of Christianity. One with the one who made everything, including you. And then actually listening to him and attending to his voice, not all the other voices. The problem that's happened in so much of modern Christianity is that we're all listening to somebody else other than him. No wonder we get mixed up. How can you fight the good fight of faith if everybody's telling you how to fight it except him? It's pretty hard. You know, we want to get it from the horse's mouth. You know, Holy Ghost is the horse's mouth. Like, how do I do this, Lord? This is way over the limit for me. And as I said earlier on, having that dialoguing, I can't even tell you what a gift it is if you're willing to do it. And this is when, I'm not saying you have to do it every day. I mean, people call it journaling or whatever. But this is a back and forth dialogue. Comment to response, back and forth. Not just a word here and there. It is a real deal. Living faith. You know, Holy Ghost gives us a living faith. Because he's the living God living in us. It's a living faith. It's not just trying to believe a scripture. That's not a living faith. I mean, why would Jesus ask for Holy Ghost to be sent? And why would the Father send him? To live and indwell us forever if we didn't need him. I mean, obviously it's crucial that he's a part of our experience as a Christian and that we relate to him. He's been, you know, really beyond second guess. He's just been put on the shelf or invisible. And without him, we're not going to make it. You know, I'm not saying we won't live. Yes, you might live and you might live a miserable life and you might, you know, maybe you get healed, maybe you don't. Maybe your relationships get restored, maybe they don't. But, you know, you walked it pretty much alone in the forest, even though there he was the whole time inside. But you never bothered to ask. And it's, you know why we don't do it? It's because we've been taught it's wrong. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not saying, oh, you know, you're a silly Christian. It's because we've been taught you can't even trust him. Oh, that might be a voice of a seducing spirit. Really? Well, how are you ever going to know if you never talk to him? Which one's which? Who do you think told you that Holy Ghost's voice is a seducing spirit? A seducing spirit! You know, someone the other day was so vicious. And I mean, this was a total stranger in the park. I mean, I just happened to meet them and they were swinging their child on the swing. Just, you know, asking me what I did for, you know, like, did I work? And I said I was in ministry and traveled around the world and saw amazing healings and people, you know, being restored to God and all this stuff, salvation. And they just went on a tirade about how that you can't, not everyone's allowed to heal, and this is evil, and this is wrong. And I'm just like, whoa. And I mean, talk about Holy Spirit, you know, forget about even getting to that subject. And they had all the legalistic stuff. They were in total bondage. And they did not want to hear anything. And when you come up against that, and you see what people have been taught, it is a tragedy. We don't want to be the ones living a tragedy. We want to be the ones in life. With him. That we go to him first about everything, but we have to get to know him. You know, the only way you get to know him is by actually being with him. And that means going to him for anything. And saying, okay, I don't get this stuff about healing. How is it that I'm supposed to be healed 2,000 years ago through Jesus, I believe that. I know that's true, Lord, but I don't see it on my body. What the heck's going on? Being that real. He's not going to get insulted. It gives him an opportunity to actually answer you and show you what's going on in you. I mean, when I minister to people, yes, he shows me individually what's going on with those people. He does. He's speaking through me. And I'm forever grateful. But what I really want to show and share and teach people is how to hear that in themselves. Because they don't need a go-between. They've got the real deal living in them. And if we're going to fight that good fight of faith, man, that's the one you want on your side. The one's going to tell you how to fight it when the going gets tough. When it's been another day where you're like, oh man, you know, the pain was less yesterday, but here we go again. I can feel it. Oh, can't deal with this. And you go to him. Holy Spirit, how do I fight against this? How do I stand? How do I don't know how to do this. Do I just let you heal me? And am I fighting you? Is it that I'm trying to earn this thing? He gave me this understanding today that I just thought was so illuminating. And he said this. He said, Jesse, and this is for all of us, it's your responsibility to believe, not make it happen. And that there is a crucial difference. You believe, you receive. So you're praying in faith. That's the key. You're not earning it. You're not working for it. You're not confessing it hundreds of times a day. You're not praying for hours on end and then you receive. Sometimes we do that. You know why we do that? Okay, sometimes we believe we have to do it, but other times that's the only way we're going to get to a place that we actually believe. If we need to pray for hours on end, or we need to speak the word aloud for hours on end to get to that place that we actually believe what he said, okay, but there's an easier way, he told me, and that's him. Because he can transform our hearts. He can transform our minds and our understanding. And then believing becomes a part of who we are. We can even ask him how to pray. Instead of, you know, frantically turning the pages of the Bible to find a scripture that matches what we're going through. He's the living God. And the Bible doesn't replace the Holy Spirit. The Bible confirms the Holy Spirit. He inspired the word. He knows what he said. He will tell you, you get to a point where you trust him, he will tell you the word before you read it. And that's really fun. And then you read it later. See, that's when you're trusting him. You just yield to him. Yielding to him is the most important part. And then I've had people say, but I don't know how to yield, I don't know how to yield. Well, all you do is go, okay, Lord, your will, not mine. I yield. I give up. You know, givey up. My hands are in the air. You can have this. I'm not doing a good job trying to save myself, heal myself, you know. I'm yours. This illness is yours. My fight is yours. My struggle is yours. My hurting is yours. My broken heart is yours. My shame is yours. My fear is yours. I give it all to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, you work it out for good, because that's all you ever do is good. You know, after you start talking to him like that, he'll give you things. You know, he might tell you, yes, this is what I want you to realize this. He might show you in the garden through revelation. You know, you were looking at a flower growing or something. He might do it through a movie. He might just whisper in your ear. You might just feel it rising in your spirit. Whatever it is that you need, how he's going to communicate with you, it is all custom made. Isn't that a wonder? Custom made for every single believer that ever was and ever will be. We don't do it like that. We just put on a template or a stencil and we stick it on and we go, that'll do me. So-and-so up the street did it like this. I guess that's how I'm supposed to do it. No! It's no wonder we don't triumph. We're trying to do somebody else's walk. You know, you can't fit into their shoes. You will not have the exact size measurements for a dress or a suit. It is really, he really, really wants to emphasize this. particularly to this group and maybe to those who are going to listen, I am a custom-made God. I don't do it the same way with anybody. And even though it may look similar, you know, somebody gets a similar revelation or you're on the same page with a particular group or whatever, because you're all growing, you know, with him in that stream, he still does it individually. No two people are the same. None. Different fingerprints, number of hairs on your head, your very cells. That's how precious we are to him. That's how much we mean to him. And he doesn't want us doing this on our own. In fact, I don't know where, you know, whoever came up with DIY, do-it-yourself Christianity, has a lot to answer for. And it's gone over a period of time, period of decades. You look back at people in faith, people of faith in, say, 60 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, they didn't do Christianity like this. They didn't try to figure everything out. Or if they did, there would be very few pockets. You know, they actually believed God was God. And he really was on the throne. And it wasn't their job to fix everything. It was their job to believe him. It was their job to pray. And let him do the work. The simplicity of that is amazing. You know, we've got the very conservative churches that say, you know, the Spirit is, you know, all the gifts of the Spirit no longer exist, and there's no healing today, and there's no miracles, and this, that, and the other. You've got those that have, you know, shut the Holy Spirit out, but they have the foundation of the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word is everything to them. Then you've got the other side, the charismatics, that have gone completely loopy. You know, and a lot of times what they're calling the Spirit of God is nothing to do with him. In fact, it is repulsive. It's a dishonor to him, especially to label it as his. And then they very much do the do-it-yourself Christianity of, like, you know, I've got a warfare for 40 hours, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, and it's all up to me, it's all up to me, it's all up to me. Where is that in the Bible? You fight the good fight of faith by believing, not by doing 1,000 things. We just believe. And if we can't believe, you know, if you've been in a long-term illness, it's pretty hard, darn hard to believe after a while. You're just like, you know what? I am exhausted, Lord. I don't even know about the believing thing. Great! You're finally done trying. And you go to him. And you go, Holy Spirit, I'm going to even need you to believe through me. Because I can't anymore. I've tried for 10 years, 12 years, 7 years, 8 years, whatever it is, 20 years. I just can't do it. I'm at the end. And he picks you up because it says, in our weakness, his power is made perfect. He picks you up like the superhero, Superman, off the ground. You know, you've been writhing in pain. You've been so overwhelmed. You're hurting. You're crying. You can't take anymore. He picks you up gently and lovingly and lifts you into his arms. And he says, now it's my turn. And isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? Now it's my turn. And he will walk you through it, whether it happens instantly or whether it happens over a period of time. He will walk you into triumph. For a while, he may just have to carry you because you're just too weak. After a while, you might just be able to hold his hand and walk with him. But he's still in you anyway. Nothing changes there. What changes is that you're no longer trying to be in control. That is the biggest freedom. Christians have learned to try to be in control of the supernatural. And what happens, you know what happens there. That's called witchcraft. When we try to control everything, when we try to be the ones in charge, when we've got our hands, you know, gripping desperately the joystick or the steering wheel, and we want to drive. You know, he told me the other day, I had a major issue that's been going on. It wasn't a healing, but it was a different issue. It's been going on for several years. And I have done the do-it-yourself Christianity with it. Because I thought I was supposed to. I thought that made me a good Christian, like we all were told. You put the effort in, you care, you do this, you be nice, you be forgiving, you be loving, you be you. Where's God? What happened to him? So he told me the other day, I asked him, about resolving it because it just got untenable. And he said to me, Jesse, this is your last chance. Can you believe it? And I jumped on him and said, well, wait a minute, what about grace? Da, da, da. He said, Jesse, this is your last chance. And I said, you mean my last chance to give it to you? Otherwise, you're going to let me have it and I can just mess it up on my own? He went, yep. And he said, not because I want you to suffer. He said, because only one can drive at a time. There can only be one driver. You know, that's fear of the Lord. I'll tell you, when God tells you, and I'm not saying he's ever going to say this to any of you. He did it to me. Okay, so don't assume he's going to say it to you. But he told me, because he knew me. He knew I'm tenacious. He knew I'm strong-willed. He knew that I needed to be moved out of the way, my will. So he gave me one last chance. And that did put the fear of the Lord in me. He's like, I don't want to lose this chance. I'm willing to actually let him take over now. Not do lip service taking over. Okay, Lord, I'll pray to you and I'll believe and I'll say these little scriptures, but all the while I'm trying to manipulate and work out the circumstance. That is not Christianity. That is not freedom. We were born again to liberty. It says we are to walk in the perfect law of what? Liberty. And that word liberty in the Greek is associated with what happened when there were slaves, like in Greek times and Roman times. And that slave had to be sold. If they were going to be set free, they had to be sold by a man to a god. You know, they had all the gods, the temples were all the different gods in Greek times. So that person, so someone had a slave, they decided they were going to set him free. They had to sell that person to a god, and then they belonged to the god, like Artemis or whatever, you know, whichever god they chose. And they would get a certificate of freedom. On that certificate of freedom, it would be written that this person could never be sold as a slave again, ever in their life, because now they belong to God. That's what he did for us on the cross. We can never be enslaved again. We are slaves of God. We can act like we're slaves of man. We can act like we're slaves of the law. We can act like we're slaves of doctrine. But we are not. We've been sold to God. And he's the only slave owner. It says in the word that we are slaves of God. He's the only slave owner that will never put you in bondage again. You're a slave to liberty. When we get that, we can walk in freedom daily. And it means our little hands. You know, it's like we're like these little toddlers a lot of times with God. We've got these fat little chubby hands, and we got our little hands in the steering wheel, and we're going, I'm going to drive. You know, and we're all excited about it. First, we're excited about it because we think, oh my gosh, I got a car. Then after a few years of, you know, running into trees and bashing the car and bashing our bodies up and everything else, we're tired. But we're still going to hold on to that steering wheel because, you know, I can't fail. One of the biggest issues in Christianity is we're afraid to fail. But see, if we realize that we're dead, we already failed. The dead man, we're not even alive. It is Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The failure was the dead man. We don't have to prove anything anymore because we're one with God. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to run after it. We don't have to work for it. We're one with God. It's a done deal. It's finished. It's done. That's what the cross did. Made us one with God. So now we just get to walk as his. And we don't have to hold on to the steering wheel. We have to actually trust God. That's the biggest thing. Not being afraid of failure. You know, what if something that we do, you know, whether it's in a healing or a marriage or a work situation or whatever, or finances, what if we fail at it? See, we don't want to admit failure. But see, the truth is, it doesn't matter. It's not about us looking good. It's not about us keeping it all together. It's about us yielding to him and letting him keep it all together. And when we do that, we will know how to be free. And we won't live in constant wreckage. Because that's what he's showing me. So many Christians live in wreckage. It's like they got shipwrecked and they're living in the wreckage still. They never even went to shore. I'm just going to live in here. I'll fix this wreck up. I'm going to make it good. Oh, I'll put some nice pictures up, even though the waves and you know, everything. I mean, they've got fish living in it. You've got coral, that might be nice, you know. And you've got, you know, it's half a ship or less. And the wood is rotting, but we want to keep it together. And he says, that isn't even where you live anymore. Why are you living in a wreckage? Come with me, I'll show you a better place. He'll take you off that ship, onto the shore, and he'll build you a house, not on sand, on a rock. That's what he wants to give us. A place where we were always safe, where no wind, no storm, no hail, no cyclone, nothing can shake us. Not because we're being so strong, but because we're in him. And we actually are living as in him, not living as if it's all up to us. So when we were seeking a healing, especially after a long term, and we don't know where to go anymore, and it just looks hopeless, we go to the Holy Spirit. And we be that real with him and saying, I'm hopeless. Rather than going, oh, I've got to have faith. No, that's not fighting the good fight of faith. That's faking the good fight of faith. We don't want to fake it. We want to fight it. Well, you can't fight it without the real deal. It's like having a plastic sword. Yeah, where, how far are you going to get with somebody? And they have a real one. And the enemy's got a real sword, you've got a plastic one. Yeah, you're not going to do too well. We need authentic faith. And if we don't have it, that's okay. We go to him and he can build it up in us. Isn't that amazing? He builds it up. We don't. Now that doesn't mean you don't read the word and you don't declare things or whatever. If that's what he's telling, I mean, obviously we read the word, but and obviously we want to declare with our mouths what's true. But we don't make it into a science or a law. We do it as he leads. You know, he'll tell you what to look at. You might be thinking, oh, we should be looking at healing scriptures, and he really wants you to look at on scriptures all about faith. Or he wants you to look at on scriptures all about yielding. We've got to listen to him. I mean, he wrote the word. He lives, he's the living God living in us who can tell us and teach us all things. And without him, we are going to be lost. That's just how it is. We're going to feel like orphans. We're going to feel we're alone. And we're going to feel overwhelmed and we're going to give up. I'm not talking about giving up being a Christian or giving up faith or anything like that. I mean, you're one with him. I'm talking about giving up in walking towards triumph. And the truth is we've already have the victory. But when you're sick, you know, people can tell you all this stuff and it just sounds like codswallop. Yeah. You've heard it for 10 years. Yeah, whatever. You know, just say these scriptures. Just take this pill. You know, it's like. And I'm not saying don't be persistent. Yes, we need to. If we're fighting the good fight of faith, persistence is absolutely necessary. But let's ask him, how do I fight this good fight, Lord? Instead of trying to figure it out ourselves or read a book on it. And see what, you know, Mr. So-and-so said about it. I don't care what Mr. So-and-so said about it unless the Holy Ghost leads me to that book and says, I want you to read this part. He's done that to me sometimes. And there are books that I don't even want to read. You know, I'm like, I don't even like this author. I don't think this one is too psychological. Da, da, da. And he's like, he's pointing to it until you finally give in. And then he gives you a gem out of a book. That's what he did to me the other day in that realization that I am not responsible for anyone's failure. I have been having a situation, a family situation, or someone in the family has always blamed others and has gotten away with it because, you know, if you yield to somebody else's blame, they're going to keep going. That is not love. People go, oh, well, you've got to be loving and compassionate and, you know, not take offense and just keep pouring coals of fire on them and do this and do that. And the person never grows up. How is that love? So he directed me to a book of an author. It's a Christian author, but it's one I'm really not that excited about. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. And it's a book somebody gave me years ago. And I'm like, ugh. But I went and read it. And in fact, I'm a quick reader. So I read like the whole 200 pages in a really short time. And I got one gem out of that. But it was the one he wanted to give me because I wasn't listening to him. So he had to take me to a book I didn't even want to read. You know, I mean, hey, it's easier not to be stubborn. But I read it. And when I read it, this is what he showed me. You are not responsible for anyone's failure. And the freedom that I got from that was so exciting. It was like I felt like I could dance on the roof. Because I'd been taking on this family situation where someone in our family just didn't want to be responsible. Blamed, was stuck in their past, was in pain. Oh, it was always somebody else's fault. Had issues of anger, all kinds of things. And I had taken it on for years, thinking I was helping them. I was carrying the piano for them. No, it says everyone has to carry their own load. You can bear one another's burdens. That's helping somebody out. So that's their crying and they're sad. So you pray with them. You don't take it from them and say, I'll have it for you. That's not helping anybody. How are they ever going to learn to walk upright with God in truth? So he'll do things like that. That's how individual it is. And he may never ask any of you that are on or any of you listening to read a book you don't want to read. You know, I don't know. That's what he had to do with me. It's custom made. All I had to do was yield. That's all we have to do, yield. It's the yielding part that people get stuck on. Do you know why? Because they have their will. See, Jesus did not crucify your will. He crucified the old man, the one that was separated from God, so that you're no longer identified with sin. You are now identified in Christ. You belong to God. That's the one he killed, the one that didn't belong to God, the one that got separated from the garden. But he did not kill your will. We have a will. We all know it. I mean, you can choose to have coffee, even though it might make you sick, or not. You can choose to drive when you're really tired, or not. You can decide to watch a movie or go to sleep. You can choose to talk to a friend or not. We have a will. It's every day. Every moment of every day is our will is involved. So how God wants us to do it with our will, it's not we're supposed to be automatons and go, oh, thy will be done, Lord. You know, it's not like that. It's a process of learning. You can actually trust him enough with your will that he's always going to turn out the best for you. So when you're doing something against what he says is best, you start to learn that it doesn't work very well. It's best to just give in. Giving in is not saying uncle. Giving in is saying, I trust you and you love me, Lord. And I'm going to go your way. Because my way hasn't worked too well for me. He'll say that to, well, he said it to me. He may never say it to you. He'll say, so how's that working for you, Jesse? That trying to control everything. Is that working out for you? You know, I mean, I have to laugh. That's how he talks to me. I go, not really. He goes, would you like to try me? That's what he told me. You want to try me? You've tried you. How about try me? That's all we have to do. Try him. Let's see if he actually does what he says he does. Not in the standpoint of, I'm testing you out, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Not from there. Let's be in the game. Let's let him in the game. Let's give him a mitt and a ball and a bat. Let's let him in. Okay, he can play. Actually, he's a home run hitter. Every time he hits a home run. You want that one on your team. And that's who he is. He's our home run hitter. He'll always hit a home run for us. All we do is yield. And yielding is giving our will over to him. Saying, you know best, Lord. Father knows best. He really does. We've all done it the other way. Whether it's our trying to be really good as Christians, or whether it's trying to be strong as Christians, or whether it's listening to somebody else's doctrine or teaching, we've all done it the other way, us being in the forefront, us in the driver's seat. And we all have found it hasn't worked. Or we wouldn't still be seeking. We don't have to seek him in the sense that he's in us. But it does say, seek me with all your heart. We have to yield our hearts to him. And the heart and the will are entwined. Because if you trust God, your will, you're going to give it over real easily. You know, that's the truth about anybody, isn't it? You trust someone, you give them your heart. If you don't trust them, you're like, ooh, I'm guarding my heart with this one. This one's dangerous. This one could hurt me. We've got to learn that he's not going to hurt us. Never. He never brought the illness on. He's not teaching us lessons by making us sick. He doesn't come to kill us or steal from us or destroy us. That's Satan. He's the one who loves us, who died for us, and lives in us. That's who God is. That's the one on our side. And it's important we get to know who he is. Holy Spirit will teach you that truth. That God is the one that loves you, died for you, and lives in you. Isn't that amazing? That's our freedom in him. And I might just finish it up there, Carrie. It just feels like that's what I'm supposed to do.